Okay. I've given me 10%. So that's me done for this month. Is that right? There's a lot of discussion about do we tithe, don't we tithe, do I give 10%? Does everything I have belong to the Lord and He has access to it all? And we all go round backwards and forwards. And I guess over the years we've kind of had a go of all of them, really. We tithe 10%. There is no compulsion, there's no rule that says you have to give 10%. And I know it's quoted back to where Abraham offered Melchizedek. It was a free will offering, but it was a free will offering. And God invites us to give free will offerings. He doesn't say, "Come on, you, I want your money now." Because He says, if you don't want it, that's fine. But we have an agreement with God, each one of us. It's just part of our salvation. It's called an exchanged life. I give my rotten old life to God, to Jesus, and He gives me His new life, wonderful life. And I'm very happy to accept that. I'm also a joint heir with Him, which means all that Jesus has been given, He wants to share with me, and He wants to share with you. And there is a payoff. If I want to keep mine, He says, "Well, that's all right. I'll keep some of mine." It doesn't affect our salvation, but it does affect how we live on a day-to-day basis. This isn't drumming up for an offering, by the way. The hat's not going round, so you can relax. Don't worry. We've kind of gone from the 10%. You know, or at least 10%, and then we've kind of finally settled out. We don't tithe, we don't think of ourselves as tithing, because we do realize now that actually everything we own is God's. Everything we've got is from being blessed by God. And at any time we hopefully are open to pass some of that on, to share some of it out, to give some of it away. And we do give more than 10%. I'm telling you what we give, because that's not your place. But we do give more than 10%, and I think it's good to kind of keep an eye on that, because we really can be quite rubbish at giving money, really. You know, we sort of think, yeah, we need to give it, but we never quite get around to doing it, and time rolls on. And but so we do kind of keep a check. What are we giving? And we also try and keep a check on, are we giving where we should give? Both of those are important things. I was going to tell you a story of kind of, I suppose, what changed us from tithing to realizing that actually, if you give God everything, He gives you everything. When we were first married, I think within a couple of years of being married, wasn't it? We had a church in our home, so there was, what was it, about 34 people squeezed themselves into our home. The noise was unbelievable, and the neighbours were amazing, amazing times, wonderful times. Wendy was teaching then, and I was working, but just felt it was wrong that Wendy should work, because we had this lot going on in our house. Then Wendy would come home, she used to do her own schoolwork. She did a mark, and then she'd come home, and then she'd want to do dinner, and she needed to get my tea on time, which is really important, and you know, just stuff like that. So we felt it was right that she should give up work, and we felt that was right for the Lord. So she did. Well, I wasn't earning a huge wage at the time, so we were struggling. Yeah, £35 a week of us. This was back in 70. Well, 72, wasn't it? Yeah, 74 rather. When we got married, we didn't live together before then. No, we didn't, honest. And so things were tight, but it was fine. And we both felt at that point that God was asking us to give, which to us was a small fortune in those days, £250, doesn't sound very much now, but it was in those days, to a particular person. And we were willing to do that. we just never quite got round to doing it because things were tight and all the rest of it. But we were willing to do it. But time rolled on and we didn't quite get around to doing it. And then there was a very specific time when the money in our bank, which was never huge anyway, started dwindling rather alarmingly. And it was getting very close to, that's about all we had left in the bank. It was a little bit more than that, but not much. And so we realised we were going to run out of money. So we felt, well, okay, perhaps we better give this money away anyway, because it was going to go anyway. So we gave the money away. And 2 weeks later, something to me was amazing happened. We wouldn't take loans or anything like that. We kind of worked on the principle, if you can't afford it, you don't need it. But we did have to get one thing on a HP, which was the vacuum cleaner, which we had. Now, 2 weeks later, we went to pay the next instalment, and we were told, no, it's all been paid off. You don't owe any money. Now, I never to this day found out who that was, and we obviously never told anybody our circumstances. So that was one of those puzzles that God leaves you with. Who on earth would have, why would they, how would they find out? I don't know. But anyway, they did, and they paid it all off. And then the other thing, which shows really the practicality of God, I had to replumb the house and put the central heating in, and I took out a huge amount of lead. This guy must have owned a lead mine, I think, who did the plumbing. It was just a vast amount of lead piping, and I'd stashed it for about a year or so, because the price of it was very low. Within 2 weeks, the price had suddenly taken off. So I dragged this lot off to the scrapyard, made a really good amount on it, and suddenly we were kind of solvent again. And it was kind of a lesson learned. I realised what God was saying to us. You know, if you do what I ask, things work out easier. If you don't do what I ask, it's a slightly more difficult route. And so we kind of learnt from that. Now, if we feel to give, we give. Don't have to think about it too much. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to plot. You just do as you're asked. And hopefully, generally, that's what we do now. The lesson we learnt, basically, was that you can't outgive God. And we're still proving that now, aren't we? There are sometimes there's more goes out than comes in, and yet the bank balance doesn't seem to change. I have no idea how it all works, but I don't worry about it anymore. It just seems to work. I will say at this point, what I'm not talking about, most definitely not talking about, is prosperity gospel. All right? There is no scriptural basis, actually, for a prosperity gospel. What there is scriptural basis for is that we have to learn to have lack, and we have to learn to have far more than we need, and neither of those positions affect us. It doesn't affect our peace. Because if when we were really, really struggling, God was there. And, you know, you'd go, something that you had to buy would just happen to be on discount on the day you went to buy it. Somebody would come along and say, oh, you know, I'd like to give you this. God works in all sorts of ways, and he works within that family idea as well, where we care for one another and we give to one another. We share what we've got with one another. They did it in the early church in Acts, of course, and nobody considered what they had was their own. And they just shared it out as was needed. And that was the way to do it. It's really good. Okay. Got some more slides to show in a minute. I've got four scriptures I wanted to say, just to make a point. Proverbs 19:17. If you help the poor, you're lending to the Lord, and he will repay you. if we have an openness to give as God wants us to give, then he will bless us by making sure, one way or another, he pays us back. Not that he owes us, but just the fact that he wants us to be able to enjoy the fact that somebody reaches out in love to you and gives you something. In the same way, you can reach out in love to somebody and give them something. It might be something they need. It might just be something they didn't even think about, but that they would really enjoy. Could be anything. James 2:14. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food. What good does that do? First Timothy, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future, so that they may experience true life. And then Hebrews 13, for this world is not our permanent home. We're looking forward to a home yet to come. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. And everything we do, or everything we give, and come to that, everything we're willing to receive, is really a reflection of our relationship with God. And a reflection of our love and trust of him. And this all includes sharing the things that we've got. and then just to go on, 2 Corinthians 9 says, each one of you must do just as you have purposed in your heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And that is a really important verse, because everything that God does with you and me, he wants you to take control. He wants you to take control of your life, of your circumstances with him. And, you know, somebody can come to you and say, you know, the Lord has shown me, you've got to empty your bank account and these are my bank details. And you have to ask God, what's he on about? Is this you? And that goes the same, you know, with give to him who asks you. And we used to have great debates about, oh, what does that mean? And some wise seers said, oh, you give him everything except your wife. Some wives would probably wish that they did, but there you go. But, you know, what do you do? What do you do? But you are in charge and of your life and of your circumstances with God. And if he says you give, you give. But if he doesn't, you don't. You're not obliged to give. Because the whole point of the object lesson is to teach you to walk with God, to teach you to trust him, and to teach you to keep your ears open to him. What are you saying, Lord, by this? And then I think the last verse, 2 Corinthians 8. Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches of Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it out of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. And they even did more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and then to us, just as God wanted them to do. So it's really important. Everything we do, we have to keep our eyes on the Lord. And, you know, do you think this is something you should do? Where's your peace? Does that disturb your peace? If it doesn't, then you need to say, Lord, okay, I am willing. What do you want? Your financial position doesn't define your giving or your relationship with God. That's your love for him and for others does that. It doesn't matter if you're very rich. Doesn't matter if you're very poor. Just be open-handed with God. He will give you the ability to give what he wants you to give. You don't have anything to give. He will give you something to give. And if you've got loads in the bank or loads of goods, doesn't mean you've got to give it all away. There's nothing wrong with being rich. I wouldn't mind trying it sometime. I'll let you know. But it's not that. It's what's in your heart. It all comes down to the heart motives again. Okay. Part of your learning to walk in the Spirit and growing your relationship with God comes down to how we give and how we share. Not just, you know, we sort of talk about giving and we think, oh, it's me wallet again. It's not just your money. So just a question. What things do we have that we could share or give? And how can we do that? What kind of things can we share with other people or give? Time. Time is money. Time is probably one of the most... in mental health, one of the biggest causes of poor mental health in people is that nobody's got time to listen to them. And just time to sit and be with them. That can be quite costly. You can be trying to be gracious and caring to somebody, and at the back of your head you're thinking all the stuff that you've got to do. But Jesus never did that. He always had time. He would just sit. You want to talk? We talk. And he was always in control of it. But he gave time. It is such a valuable thing. What else? Other than, obviously, you can give your money. What else can you give or share? Pardon? Talents. Yeah, you can give your skills. Talents. That's really, really... good as well. You can save people an awful lot of money by just doing something simple for them and take a big burden off them. Yeah. What else? Love. Yeah. Yeah. You give that, you set people free. Andrew. Okay. Yeah. What about your material goods? You got two coats? Got a wardrobe full of the things. And friendship, that's quite a costly one to give. You know, if you want to know what love is, start loving somebody you hate. It's a good starting point. Somebody that doesn't give you too much back at that point, and see what God can do for that. Why are they like that? I can remember one of... your school friends, who was an absolute pain in the neck. She really was. But she was lovely, really, but oh, she'd drive you mad. But she was somebody who just desperately wanted to be loved and just desperately wanted somebody to be a friend and just sit and listen to her. And, you know, there are so many people like that in the world, so many lonely people, and we can just... side lap. We can ask the Lord, Lord, who should I sit next to? And it's part of your walking in the Spirit. There's one I want to say as by way of thanks, by the way, but there's another one. It is an actual ministry, a ministry of helps. And I don't know if you've seen our car. It looked like a mobile mud heap. It was horrendous. It just hadn't been washed for too long. And Wendy came out, was it Saturday, previous Saturday, the only downside, she was walking around the village for half an hour trying to find our car. She thought somebody had put a new car in its place. And unbeknown to her, as Richard and Stephen took it on themselves, that looks pretty awful. We'll clean it. And absolutely mad. I don't think it's ever been cleaned so well. You've got the job, by the way. It's amazing. But, you know, just a huge thanks. But you've no idea how much that blessed us. It's just really amazing. The fact that just somebody had reached out into your little world and done something really kind and really nice and then just disappeared again and left you to find your car. But it's just amazing. It's just little things like that. It just makes a huge difference. And, you know, you can change somebody's, not just their day, you can change their whole outlook on themselves and everything else. Somebody loves me. Somebody cares. Absolutely amazing. Okay, and then the last bit, even on time, how about that? What other things can we give? What other things can we share? A meal, yeah, Jesus was well into meals. He was either going to one, out one, or leaving one in Luke. It's he was well into meals. Yeah, it's a very intimate time, a time to relax and a time to show that somebody actually is greatly valued. And what about the things that God gives us by the Holy Spirit? What can we do with that? We can share our faith, yeah. And the obvious one I was thinking, of course, is Acts 3, where Peter and John strolling along to the temple, was just going to go in through the beautiful gate, and this guy, he had no legs. His legs hadn't worked since he was very, very young. And so he was saying, give alms, give alms. I don't know why he said give alms when he needed legs, but there you go. Give alms. And Peter said, you know, we haven't got any money. Silver and gold have I none, but I'll give you what I have got. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And he grabbed this bloke and waked him up. And he was dancing away, danced his way into the temple where he wouldn't have been allowed to go as a disabled person. Absolutely set him free. Amazing. And the name of Jesus, we are allowed to give it away. We're allowed to advertise the goodness of God. We demonstrate the love of God by how we live together and how we treat other people, not necessarily Christian people, people that don't like you, your enemies. Show them love. And God will move in that area. You don't know how many people you can rescue just by loving them like that. And, But we have a power that is within you. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in you, in Jesus, sorry, and you are complete in him. And the Holy Spirit came into each one of us in his fullness. And we should expect to see God move. We will see God move in amazing ways again, because I honestly believe it's time now that God is going to move. We won't be clucking or doing anything stupid, but there will be amazing life-changing transformations in people. And we will see healings, we will see deliverance, we will see all that stuff again. We'll see it in Belvedere and Bexley and beyond and all the rest of it. But we are going to see it here, and God is going to do it. And he's going to do it through each one of us as we just draw near and as we are willing to be open to let him express himself however he wants. That might be in our giving money, it might be in our sharing our goods, it might be in showing love, it might be whatever. But God is on the move, and he has called us to walk with him. Okay, so everything we have comes from God, and the only thing we've got to give him is what he's given us in the first place. I don't mind writing checks for somebody else's bank account. It's great. £1 million? No problem. Absolutely wonderful. And God is blessed when we trust him enough to give, because he trusts us enough to be us, basically, where we are. Okay, thank you.